Blog Talk Radio.
Easy, read. We're on listening to Eerie House Radio. Crazy DLK from Spook Show. And what a week it has been. People losing their mind. You know, I want to do today's show about the day the Earth stood still. Well, it seems that the world stood still for a minute with its jaw agape after the election. A little bit of a surprise ending. And we like surprise endings, don't we? Or happy endings. So who knows what this is going to be all about, but what really bothers me, and I just wanted to bring up, is the way people are acting. Just incredible. People who are normally friends are, like, at war. People think the Earth's coming to an end, and I don't think it is. If it is, it'll be fun to watch at this point in my life. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I shouldn't be surprised. People get that way over horror hosting. I mean, they're passionate about something, and sometimes that passion overextends friendship. And people have different directions to go. Whatever. But not to have war about it. That's what I say. There's a lot of people who don't want to hear any of the nonsense, and those are the people I'm gravitating towards. So, you know, whatever you want to believe, you believe. Whoever you want to live with, you want to live with. I don't care. I don't care. All I care about is being entertained, mostly by horror and science fiction. And one of my favoritest of all time horror and science fiction movies, in particular sci-fi, is the 1951 version of The Day the Earth Stood Still. I'm hardly here. It's like a gorilla in the room. Let's get it out there now. The 2008 version with Keanu Reeves. I got no desire whatsoever to ever see any portion of that film ever again. It does a complete disservice, I think, to the original, starring Michael Rennie as Klaatu, an alien who comes to Earth to kind of give a warning. You guys are getting a little crazy here with the nuclear energy. We think you need to knock it off. You got to quit warring and blah, blah, blah. So, to me, first major film that really addressed the fact that aliens, hey, they might not be bad guys coming here to shoot the place up, you know? I mean, it's kind of threatening because it's like, live in peace or we'll blow you up. But still, I don't think the approach was like what a lot of people from the 50s accepted science fiction films to be. More like Earth versus the Flying Saucer. Hey, we're coming down here and we're just kicking your butt. Day of the Year Stood Still was far more cerebral than that. And I think they picked a very good actor, Michael Rennie, to play Klaatu. So iconic was the role that he played a similar role in the television show Lost in Space. He played the zookeeper and looked very Klaatu-like in that film. Gosh, where do I begin with such a great movie? I guess you got to start with the music. I mean, there's some tremendous music in this film by Bernard Herrmann. Bernard Herrmann was a really kind of something of a genius who always felt that movie music was a little below him. You know, he wanted to be a big time conductor and, for a major orchestra. And although he never got to do that, a lot of his movie music is the most beloved. And his use of a theremin in the film really gave a nice ethereal, creepy sound to the music that is easily identifiable. I mean, when you hear it, you know it's The Day the Earth Stood Still. Effects-wise, well, maybe not the greatest film ever, but for 1951, pretty darn good. I think the landing of the spaceship was done very, very well. The robot Gort, a little plain, but I think that's the way we viewed robots in post-World War II era, you know, in the late 40s and early 50s. There was still the mechanized things that were very large and very plain and bulky and made of lots of nice metal and not a whole lot of plastic back in those days. But a neat-looking robot with the faceplate. I remember when we did a spoof on Spook Show called The Day the Earth Did Nothing. Jim the Colonel Clink had made a really nice Gort, the name of the robot Gort. He made a real nice Gort head and suit for a skit we did. And wonder whatever happened to that. Maybe the folks at Hauntville still have that. I don't know. They purchased a lot of his stuff. But The Day the Earth Stood Still, a good story. Klaatu lands on Earth, is mistaken as an attacker, you know, as someone being aggressive, and was in turn attacked by the U.S. military. They shot a device from his hand. It turned out to be a translation device that would help bring peace to the Earth. He's taken to a hospital from which he later escapes and kind of assimilates himself into society. And I thought it was really neat how Klaatu comes to a boarding house and how he interacts with all the people living there, including some of the co-stars of the film. Look, got some little enhancements here in Blog Talk Radio land. Lots more sound files we're allowed to use. So let's take a little break and listen to a little something from Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, poison doesn't always come in bottles, and it isn't always marked with the skull and crossbones of danger. Poison can take the form of words and phrases and acts, the venom of racial and religious hatred. Here in the United States, perhaps more than ever before, we must learn to recognize the poison of prejudice and to discover the antidote to its dangerous effects. Evidences of racial and religious hatred in our country place a potent weapon in the hands of our enemies, providing them with the ammunition of criticism. Moreover, group hatred menaces the entire fabric of democratic life. As for the antidote, you can fight prejudice, first by recognizing it for what it is, and second by actively accepting or rejecting people on their individual worth, and by speaking up against prejudice and for understanding. Remember, freedom and prejudice can't exist side by side. If you choose freedom, fight prejudice.
That's an interesting word, prejudice, you know. Not to get too far off a topic here, but I'm in my 50s, okay? Grew up watching all these great films on television in the 60s and 70s, and civil rights was very much in the forefront, you know, in current events back then. And I don't know, at least in the area, a suburban part of Cleveland, people were reaching out and trying not to be intolerant of people who looked different and who had different cultures. And, you know, we assimilated a lot of kids from a lot of backgrounds in our school system where I grew up. And the interesting word is prejudice. I like that word, and I'd like to see it come back and replace the word racist. Not to say that there aren't a few racist people, but I don't know. That's such a strong word. It's, when I see a racist, I think of somebody carrying a rope and meaning to use it, you know? A prejudice means so much less. It seems a less aggressive word because everybody's prejudiced about something. I'm prejudiced against lima beans. I can't stand them, okay? Does that mean I'm a bad or an evil person? Not so much. Some people think I'm an evil person when I eat other kinds of beans, but that's a whole other story. And what if your bird is evil? Sorry, that's a little reference to a comment in the chat from Evil Annie Ruppert, another bird aficionado. We have a African gray here in Erie House who recently learned to mimic the word red rum. Birds are so much fun. I'm trying to teach him to curse at people, but it's probably not going to fly too well. Again, prejudice would be so much better, and prejudice was addressed in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still to some degree. There were different types of prejudices. The lady who played Aunt Bee, Frances Bavier, was one of the folks in the rooming house that Klaatu was staying at. And one of the prejudices that were pretty prevalent at the time was against communism and Russia in general, or the USSR, if you will. Back in the 50s, there was a lot of post-war suspicion with Russia and competition. And she made a comment that referenced Russia at the time, because the people in the boarding house were debating where the spaceship came from. And Frances Bavier made the comment, oh, you know it was them. And based on the context of other parts of the conversation, you knew she was talking about the Cold War at the time. So that was an interesting reference they put into The Day the Earth Stood Still. Also one of the first films that I noticed some prominent black players in them. They didn't have particularly big or large speaking roles, but at the end of the film, when Gort was addressing leaders of the world, you know, they had some African Americans dressed up as dignitaries from different nations. So I think The Day the Earth Stood Still was very forward thinking in many ways, and not afraid to take on, you know, some of the fears and concerns that people had at the time, not just fanciful things or seemingly fanciful things like aliens from space, but the real dangers of the world at the time, or the perceived dangers in any event. The play of the characters was fun. While at the boarding house, Michael Rennie meets a little boy, the son of one of the other tenants in the boarding house, a single mother whose husband was killed, seemingly, again, based on current events, one would think probably the Korean War, if not World War II. He befriends the boy, and reactions between the two were very nice and very honest. And you know, it's funny today thinking of a young boy going out with an adult man to a movie that he's not related to and only recently met, and spending the day with him going around Washington D.C. That's unthinkable in this day and age, but in the context of the film, at the time in the 50s, when the world was perhaps a safer place in the United States, you didn't think twice about that. But do that today. Tell some mother, yeah, we're going to send your son out with some strange man, and he's going to go all over Washington, D.C. That might be an area of concern. You might not want to do that. Funny how things change. And the fears that we have today. Again, there's real horrors in the world. Nowhere near as much fun as a horror film where you know it's, you know, for your fancy and entertainment. I love the music in The Day the Earth Stood Still. I mentioned Bernard Herrmann's score, not just the use of the theremin, but the overall way he puts his music together in all his films is really, really good. And speaking of music, let's have a little Haunting Blues. And while we're listening to this, don't forget to watch Eerie House Television tonight, Saturday. It's going to be lots of fun at 7:30. It's a rebroadcast of Tar and Feather hosting Terror of Tiny Town. And then at 9, we got a twin spin with Arachna, Creature from the Haunted Sea, and Nosferatu. Feature starts at 9 and at 10:30. It's an Nosferatu hosted by Arachne. That's tonight on Theory House TV. The Day the Year Stood Still, released in 1951. Now, Patricia Neal plays the mother, and she has a love interest, Hugh Marlowe, who plays kind of a creepy guy, so to speak. A not nice guy. He sort of betrays the lady because he comes to realize that she's helping Klaatu hide out from authorities. And he threatens to turn him in for money, well, indirectly money, for his job as a newspaper man. So, another interesting character. I love Sam Jaffe as Professor Barnhart. Very much like an Einstein-type character, especially for the time. The little boy helps arrange a meeting between Klaatu and Professor Barnhart in the film. If you'd like to call in to Blog Talk Radio and talk to us here at Heary House, it's 646-378-0264. There you go. That was Haunting Blues. Yeah, we got a few more sound bites we can use here. A little upgrade at Blog Talk Radio. Pretty nice. In fact, let's just toy around a little bit with a little advertisement.
Beware the Asco zombies. They mutilate, they torture, they kill. Spine-tingling horror, unspeakable shock, and breathless excitement will grip you as you watch living organs ripped from the bodies of voluptuous females, as beating hearts and throbbing brains are transplanted to create the Asco zombies. Cringe in terror, scream in fright, as these skull-faced monsters strike blindly at living flesh, and the motion picture screen flows in the blood-drenched wake of the Asco zombies. The beautiful, voluptuous, deadly, vicious Satana, a woman who would stop at nothing to gain control over the Astro zombies, whose creed was kill, kill, kill. John Carradine as the deranged scientist, Wendell Corey as the doctor who opposes him, match wits in this bloody, sadistic, terror-filled, suspense-laden horror film of brutal mutilations and senseless killings as the Astro zombies go berserk and threaten a city with death. Watch it and you die a thousand deaths. The Astro zombies in color, coming soon to your local theater.
All right. Astro Zombies. It's been years since I've seen that one. I have to get out and see it again. You know, the Day the Year Stood Still had a lot of little goofs on there, as all films do, I suppose. There's one in particular where Klaatu tells Professor Barnhart that he was in room 309 of the Walter Reed Hospital, but the number on the door is actually 306. Somebody noticed that. there's three muzzle flashes, but you only hear one gunshot and a close-up of a quick-triggered soldier on top of a tank. We see and hear him fire his pistol, but there's a flash and nothing there. There's another one where Bobby's doing his math, the young boy is doing his math homework, and Klaatu looks over his shoulder and says, you have to remember, first find the common denominator, and then divide. When you divide fractions, you don't need a common denominator. So if you're going to do a science movie, stick up with the facts. the original script said subtract, and they at least tried to straighten it out a little bit. There's another error where a colonel orders his troops to block off the streets intersecting Connecticut along a line from Wisconsin to the park. Connecticut and Wisconsin don't intersect in Washington, D.C. There's supposed to be electricity neutralized across the world. We see a motorcycle cop trying to start his ride, but the traffic light on the left side of him is lit. There's another interesting fact I think that added some credibility to the story is they used actual news people. Three gentlemen named Gabriel Heater, H.V. Coltonborn, and Drew Pearson. So they were cast actually as themselves in the film. At the very beginning when they were doing the news reports about the saucer coming to Washington, D.C. It's really a great movie. It really impacted, I think, a lot of future films and other television programs, too. Again, Lost in Space, for the very first season, first couple seasons, they had the silver spacesuits, very, very much like Klaatu's suit In the Day the Earth Stood Still. That film and Forbidden Planet, I think, molded science fiction, quality science fiction, for years, really. You've probably heard me on this radio station say before that, you know, I'm just not a fan of some of the 50s and 60s, I'm a fan of them, but I don't view them in as high regard as I do some later films. It seemed like science fiction was really taking a hit. There were a lot of bad effect movies. Very few like The Day the Earth Stood Still or Forbidden Planet, where a little love and care and hopefully a bigger budget helped make these better films. But these impacted a lot of things. A lot of the props were used in Star Trek, Lost in Space. And again, The Day the Earth Stood Still was so good that someone felt that that they should make a remake. Why? I have no idea. Maybe they need to have their brains in.
What is it?
I don't know.
Ejected from unexplored secret stratus, this giant, harder than steel piston, disgorges strange creatures, inundating our world, twisting the emotions of women, distorting our men.
This is a piece we got off the mayor. Reflex action like a snake. Cut a snake in half and the two pieces go off in different directions.
Things take over a man's mind? He becomes a robot? A machine taking orders?
Join the hunt for the hiding place of terror. Find the breeding place of these globs of destruction.
In feeding, the mouth parts rupture the cells, convey the food to the stomach by a pumping action.
It's an adventure that'll burst your blood vessels with suspense. See, the Brain Eaters.
That's what I call newsmen, the Brain Eaters. Because I blame the news for all this discord that's been going on that made the day, that made the earth stood still for a little while last week. Far more entertaining to watch the movie, though. If you haven't seen it recently, go see it again. If you've never seen it, it'll really be a treat. Like being on Easy Street. It's such a treat. I'm sorry, I can't get that song out of my head ever since that's poor Daryl got tortured in Walking Dead on Sunday. It's just, I've been locking myself in a dark room and playing it over and over and over. Again, Eerie House TV. Tonight, we got Tar and Feather at 7:30, the Terror of Tiny Town, and again, the Twin Spin with Arachna starting at 9, all the way until midnight. First movie, Creature from the Haunted Sea, followed by Nosferatu. Don't miss it if you can. You'll love it when you hear...
Lights out, and now the movie, folks.
Yeah, just horsing around with the sound effects, by you folks. Some frequently asked questions about Baby Ear Stood Still. Was Gort played by a robot or a real actor? Well, it's pretty obvious there was a dude in there. The gentleman named Locke Martin. He was 7'7" tall. Jeez, that's a big guy. There is a short story that this was taken from, and someone asked how closely the movie follows the short story. There's a lot of differences. The short story is set in the future instead of current times like the movie did. The robot's called Knut, or Knut, or Newt, E-N-U-T, rather than Gort. He's green, not silver. He remains motionless while scientists attempt to learn about him, but at night he moves around before resuming his place in the morning. Eventually, he recovers a recording of Klaatu's voice from his tomb and uses it to make a copy of him. This copy talks to a reporter and eventually reveals a twist ending that it is the robots like Newt, not humanoids like Klaatu, who are completely him first. What does Klaatu Barada Necto mean? Has no translation. It represents an inscrutable failsafe against a catastrophic mistake and orders Gort to follow a specific program rather than simply destroying the Earth in the event. From what planet does Klaatu originate? Good question. I don't remember them addressing that in the film. Just after he disappears from the hospital, the headline in the Washington Chronicle reads, Man from Mars Escapes. There's a movie, it says he's from 250 million miles. Pluto's about 3 billion miles. So if he came from another planet in our solar system, 250 million miles is pretty much close to Mars. So I don't know what it was intended to be. It is based on a book, a short story, from an October 1940 magazine called Astounding Science Fiction. So it was actually a movie remake of a short story. It was called Farewell to the Master. Good movie. Don't miss it if you can. Well, folks, I got to get out of here. Thanks for listening to Eerie House Radio, and we will catch next at the same time, perhaps an extended show. Keep watching the Facebook page for more information. So without any further ado, I wish you a very steady day, and enjoy yourself watching some Eerie House television. Thanks again for listening to radio, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.